About time to go back over some this and its misconceptions about spanking. And you say, okay, you got three groups in here tonight. You got those of you that need a spanking every once in a while. I'm talking about the little ones. Okay. We got those of you that probably are in a position where you need to give a spanking every once in a while. And then there's the rest of you. But I want to say something to you. Understanding what God says about this shows us a lot about how God deals with us. And so you are not at a loss, even if you're not in those first two groups. Maybe you will be one of these days in the second one again. But even if you're not in those two groups, I think that it's important that we look at this. I noticed I had a note here that in June of 2007, June the 27th, there was an article in the Knoxville News Sentinel. Its title said, "There's never a good reason for spanking child, researcher says." Every 3 or 4 months, you'll see an article like that. And, we are fighting something today that just basically is total denial of what the Scripture says. I will tell you this. I want to take care of some other misconceptions first, not the ones we're going to be looking at tonight. And those are the misconceptions that somebody might have in this day and age. Unfortunately, you have to cover a lot of things today that you used not to have to deal with. First of all, there is such a thing as child abuse. And that is wrong. It is hated by God. In fact, you find that Jesus Christ Himself did not have any grace almost at all for those who would mistreat children. In Matthew 18 and verse 6, He said this, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in Me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." He says, don't mess with the kids. I don't like that. You'd be better off just hanging a millstone. That's one of those big millstones that you find down at the mill, you know, these old mills and everything you go look at. He says, hang it about your neck and jump in the river, because you're jumping the sea. You'd be better off than messing with one of my kids. And so, Jesus Christ didn't want people messing with kids. So we're not talking about that tonight. And unfortunately, there are some people who use the Bible to mess with kids, and that's wrong. And so we just put that out from the beginning. And I will say this, spanking can be misused in numerous ways. There are people who misuse spanking children. There's no doubt about that. Now, this is a controversial topic, but you've never seen me dodge them entirely around here. I try to get into some of these things because you need to know what the Bible says about this. It is a controversial thing. It can be used. I will say this, when you're going to bring up your children, the very first thing ought to be that you love them. And if you don't show love to your children, you're never going to be spanking them right. You're never going to do it right. You can spank, and I've got a list here. You can be too harsh. Your spanking can be too harsh. It can be too inconsistent. It can be too late. It can be too hasty, and it can be too much. The fact that you spank your children does not make you a godly or a righteous parent. And I think that's important for everybody to understand. There are people out there spanking who are doing it ungodly ways, and they are not righteous. I know of people who think they're all godly because they beat on their kids all the time. And that does not make you a godly parent. Please do not misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say. I'm talking about God's way of doing it, and that's all. One other thing I want you to say, there's only one absolute authority on how to raise children. It's not, we used to pick on Dr. Spock. I don't know if he died or what. You don't hear about him now. But you have all the other doctors that are still out there. And the thing is I'm not saying you can't ever read something a man says and get some help. But if you want something absolute, you go to this book. My belief is I don't care what's in and what's out and what's popular now, what's unpopular, it still comes down to whether you do it God's way or you refuse to do it God's way. And that's what we're looking at this evening as we look at this. And this is going to be a very different type of message. I've almost got too many notes to preach like I normally do. And so I'm going to be probably tied more to my notes here tonight than normal. But I want to give you, I've got this outline, is 8 misconceptions about spanking. And I'm going to watch the time so I don't keep you too long. So if I don't get through 8, at some point I'll just quit anyway. So I don't want you all worrying about it and saying, we've been here 45 minutes, he's only up to 3. So don't panic, I'll do something. You ever been one of those preachers, they tell you how many points they have, and you start timing how many he's taken, you know, how long he's taken all of those. None of you are ungodly like that. I know that. You're not carnal that way. But I have done that before. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 11, here's the first misconception. The first misconception is that spanking is an act of hatred. He said this, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Verse 12, he says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." He says here that it is an act of love that God chastens us. It is an act of love that the right kind of parent would chasten their children. Now, I'm not talking about, when I say the misconception that it's an act of hatred, spanking is not an act of hatred. It is not. In fact, you shouldn't spank when you are mad. You daddies especially need to watch this. You shouldn't spank your children when you're mad. You say, what do? Well, I had to learn this. As my boy got old enough, and I'll have to use y'all a few times tonight. But as my son got old enough and started pushing the limits and everything, I found out he can make me mad. I know none of you are, you know, you've never experienced your child making you mad. But I have. And the first time, when I caught myself one time, you know, when he was a little, you know, just a toddler, I'd pick him up real quick, quit. You know, after a while you find out my hands hurting more than, well, him. You know, and it doesn't matter too much anymore. And then I found myself, okay, I'm going to make it. I got mad. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I prayed about it. God gave me just a peace about a different plan. And I started just sending him to the room for about 3, 4, 5 minutes. And during that time, I prayed and said, Lord, what do I need to do? What's the best way to reach my child right now? What's the thing that I need to do? I'd think about it, and I'd pray about it. And you can't do this with an 18-month-old. You shouldn't be, you know, we'll talk about that later, but you can't do it when they're too little. But as they get up about 4 or 5, you can do this. And I'd send them to the room, and I'd say, you know, I'll be in to see you in just a little bit. I found out 2 things about that. Number one, I settled down. And I can say also, this would make it 3, God would give me some direction in dealing with my children. But thirdly, by the time I got there, those children were like hand in my, you know, like putty in my hand, you know. Man, they were, you talk about, I mean, they'd been sitting there 3, 4 minutes waiting for Dad to show up and see what was going to happen. You know what? I didn't have to be as harsh as I used to have to be. Because I found out, that scared them to death. It was a way. You say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to touch their heart, not beat them up. And there's a difference about that. And I saw that God used that, and so I started doing that. But it is not an act of hatred. God corrects those He loves. And the Bible teaches you that if you show, you want to show hatred toward your child, look at Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Most of our references tonight are going to be in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. You know what an act of hatred is? It says here, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." It says, if you refuse to correct him, you're showing hatred. "But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." You say, what in the world is betimes? That means over and over and over and over again. You say, oh, that's terrible. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that kids don't seem to get it the first time. I want to say something about you. You don't get it the first time. Brother Bart, you do some drilling sometimes, don't you? We're not trying to pick on you, but you do some drilling. Do they get it the first time? No. They don't get it the first time all the time, do they? I'm not making light. I'm just saying you got to keep on it. What is discipline? Discipline is going over the same thing over and over and over again until it becomes second nature. That is what discipline, whether it's military discipline or child discipline, it's going over the same thing. We're not talking cruelty to children. I'm going to tell you, and I want to say this, I've got this in notes later, but I'm going to say it now because I don't want anybody misunderstanding. I found out that if you will correct your children consistently, you don't have to correct them as much down the road. You just have to make sure you show up at the front end and you say, this is the way it is, and guide them that way. And you know, we had people, because I'd tell them, I didn't give them second chances. If I told my child, Sam or Carolyn, either one, if I told them something clearly and made sure they understood, that's why many times I would say, do you understand what I want you to do? I was baiting them, man. When they told me yes, they're in trouble. You know what? I didn't give them a second chance. I'm not talking about a two-year-old. You can't do it. This changed as the years went. But you know what? I told them what I wanted to do. I had them express to me, yes, I understand that. And then they did it, or else there was punishment. It wasn't always paddling, but sometimes I'd find something else. A change was more effective. But it was always something would come. Now, you know what? That child, these kids are smarter. Your kids are smarter than you. You know why I know it? Because they're better at controlling you than you are at controlling them. I mean, I don't know what it is, but people get dumber as they grow up. We used to, it used to be a joke. You get in school, and the longer you've been in school, the dumber you feel. I will tell you what, there's no doubt about it. People get dumber as they get older. Kids know how to work their parents. Parents don't even know how to work their kids. I told my kids after all, I said, you know what? Trouble is that when you start learning the rules of the game, I said, I'm going to change the rules because I make up the rules for the game. I was determined that they were going to obey, not because I was in a battle with them, but because I was in a battle with Satan for them. There is a difference. You look here and you find there that it is not an act of hatred. Listen, we're told by the sociologists, we're told by the human resource people or whatever they are, we're told by all these people and the psychologists, oh, you can't ever lay a hand on them for anything. That's of the devil. That's not of God. There are wrong ways to do it, and there's idiots out there that are doing it wrong, and they're going to put them up on posters, and they're going to talk about how evil they are. But I'm going to tell you what, there's something about that external discipline that eventually builds an internal discipline. And a young person, you find a 16, 17 year old, and they've got some internal discipline. There's some character about them. There's some integrity about them. Man, it is impressive to see. I see it occasionally. And it's great when you see it. And it can be done. Second thing. Now, I've covered all over the place. But look at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18. The second misconception. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. We're going to deal with two misconceptions out of this one verse. The first one is that control over your child can be gained later. You know what we say? That's just a stage they're going through. I want to explain to you, children go through stages. They go through personality development changes. They go through times when they're real outward and trying everything. They go through times when they're more inward. They go through stages where they're doing different things. But rebellion's not a stage, it's a state of rebellion. Well, there is a stage of rebellion. You know when the rebellion stage starts with a child? When they're born. You know when it ends? When they die. Now, but you know what you say? It's a stage they go through. You know, I really believe we've created the terrible twos and the teen years in some degree because we want an excuse for our lack of disciplining our children. Do you realize two-year-olds can be pretty good? Oh, they're going to work you to death. They're full of energy. They're going to run you all the time. And you're going to think you can't make it. I mean, you're going to be tired all the time. And they're going to be, and you look at them sleeping. You say, they're so sweet. And if I could just get a little work done before they, oh no, they're awake again. They'll run you to death. There's no doubt about it. But they're not terrible because they're two. They're just energetic. And mobile, you know. They're mobile. They're able to get around it too. I mean, they can climb. They can run. They can, go just about anywhere. And they can get in places you can't get. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. And it seems like each one gets into stuff the one before them didn't think of. So when you have several, you have a lot of fun. But he says here, chasten thy son while there is hope. You know what that verse says? It says that there is a window of hope. while there is hope. Says there's a time when there's no, not the same kind of hope. I want to say this. If your children are grown and they've gotten away from the Lord, you pray for them. You turn them over to God. But you can't bring them home and spank them now. It's too late for that. That window of opportunity is gone. And you look here, he says, while there is hope. We have, listen, you can't just gain it later. You have to do it now. You know why this world hates biblical discipline so much? Because it's based on a biblical concept that this world detests. And that is that we're all sinners by nature. They hate that idea. Oh, everybody's good by nature. That's not what God said. Well, at least let's make them neutral. So it's a blank check. And so we set up school programs and we're going to make you think right. You know, school, most school today is involved in social programs and branding your brain, you know, getting you brainwashed or whatever to where you think a certain way more than it is teaching you math and English and so on. The idea is to control how we think about things. You say, well, we need to be controlled. We need to be controlled by the book. Yes, there is a discipline, and in your home, you better do that discipline. Sometimes our schools are doing stuff that should be done in the home. And you find here that they hate that concept that all people are sinful by nature. But you don't have to teach a child to lie. You don't have to teach them to bow up and rebel against what you told them to do, do you? I mean, do you have a class at home and say, okay, we're going to learn how to rebel today? You know, this is what you do. This is how you do it. This is the process you go through. Let's try it again so you can get it. You didn't get it right yet that time. Let's try it again. Or we're going to have a class today on how to throw a tantrum. Here's how you do it. You don't go through that, do you? They learn. They learn from somewhere. You find here that that's in them. And you know what the discipline does? You know, I remember when I was studying back years ago, simple biology and everything, that they talk about the insects and how this group of insects and other creatures, I guess, had exoskeletons. That means they had a skeleton that basically their skeleton was their shell and that part on the outside, what was around on the outside. And you know what discipline from a parent is like? An external skeleton. It gives them some structure. It gives them the right and wrong from the outside. But if you keep working with them, and if you keep praying for them, and if you keep leading them, eventually that external skeleton gives them internal backbone. And then they say no to the guy who hands them some drugs. They can say no to somebody that tries something else. Why? Because that external discipline has been internalized. That's your goal with your children. By the way, that means you should be praying for and looking for the time you can back up on your kids a little bit when they've proven themselves and you can trust them. And sometimes as your children grow up, you need to be encouraged and say, you know what, if you'll grow a little bit, if you'll prove yourself, I want to give you some chances to prove yourself. I want to give you some chances to prove who you are, because you need that too. The third one, that crying is to be avoided at all costs. Proverbs 19 and verse 18, the last part of the verse says this, "Let not thy soul spare for his crying." We've come to the point where parents, I think many times, panic any and every time they ever see anybody cry. Their kids cry. Now, I'm not talking about babies now. Babies are a different story, folks. You've got to understand that. But what I see is a panic and fear of a crying child in parents today. Children, you know what they do? They pick up on that fear and they use it against mom and dad. And so you end up with a mad cry. And you end up with there's all sorts of little cries here. Let's see. You have the mad cry. You have the angry cry. You know, just I didn't get my way cry. And so what they do is they develop these cries. Now, here's something about crying with children. You know, so if a child cries for the right reason, I'm, again, not babies now, we're talking a little older, And they cry because, say, they've been spanked or they've been disciplined or they didn't like the way something went on. Now, here's how you a whiny cry, I think, is another one I had down. I've got that's actually later notes, and I'm getting confused here, but hopefully you're not. But you have the mad cry. Here's how I always judge the cry. A cry that stops on a dime when the child gets what they want and they clear up in 2 seconds, that's a fake cry. That's a fake cry. That in and of itself should be punished and corrected. Okay? If they can clear it up in 2 seconds and all of a sudden, because you hand them what they wanted, they're happy, that's not true crying. You just got manipulated. Your buttons got pushed. And they controlled you, and you are saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, to your child, and doing whatever they want you to do. Now, if the cry goes on, that's a fake cry. If a cry goes on and on and on and on, and there's anger in that cry, that's a mad cry. That's rebellion. That also needs to be corrected. You know what a real cry does? They cry. They cry for a little while. It goes down slowly. They start getting over it. And then they're quiet for a little while. They're kind of subdued for a little bit because they've cried. A real cry doesn't go on forever and ever and ever. Okay? A real cry stops slowly and kind of winds down to a halt. By the way, I'm not saying anything here to give anybody a hard time either. You know, I'm trying to be a help to everybody. I want to encourage you. God's ways will work. And this is good stuff. You know, you find here, though, don't worry. Sometimes you let them cry when it's the right kind of cry. Don't let them use crying to control you. Let's go on. Number 4. Maybe I can get through these if I move pretty quickly. Proverbs 22:15. Here's another misconception. 22:15. Is that right? Yes. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The misconception is that my child is naturally good. My child is so good. You know, my child would never do that. You might be surprised what your child would do if you're not around watching. You know? You say, oh, that just shocks me so bad. Come on now. Grow up a little bit. Your child will do stuff. You would when you were that age. What makes them so different? You know? I mean, you come here, these kids will do stuff. Why? Because they're human. And you know what? Young children are innocent. The real babies, they are innocent. But they do have that inborn sin nature. We have an epidemic today of parents with perfect children. Oh, my child would never do anything. You know, by the way, one of the things, if you ever talk to teachers, and it can be in public school, but it can be in Christian school, it can be wherever there's teachers. You talk to them, one of the biggest fears they have today is the kid going home telling mom and daddy coming after them for anything. You know, I realize there's times, there's teachers out there have done some stuff, they need to be fixed. You know, the thing needs to be fixed. And, you know, thing needs to be taken care of. I understand that. But you know what? Be a little slow. Make sure what the story is before you blame the teacher. It might be your kid causing some of the problems. If you find out if it's a teacher, then you deal with it. I understand that. But you know what? I do want to say something here. Infants do not need to be spanked. Okay? Just want to get that out. Don't take the babies. Listen, I've been around these Bible believers enough. I've seen some crazy stuff. I've seen taking 3-month-olds and start back, you know, thinking they're going to pound. They say they didn't do it too hard. I think that is abuse to some degree. You know, those kids don't know what they're doing. They really don't know. We're talking about kids who know what they're doing. You say, how do you know they know? Pay attention to your kids. That's not meant to be a smart aleck thing. You know what I find? Parents sometimes, they're too busy. They can't pay attention to their own children. Watch your children. Pay attention to them. You'll know when they know what they're doing. You'll know when they're starting to do it on purpose. And it's not just a baby anymore. Now, let's go on. Not only that, here's another misconception. That spanking is harmful to children. Boy, this is the teaching, isn't it? But let's look at the Bible. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 13. Totally different subject tonight. I know that. But Proverbs 23:13, withhold not correction from the child, For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Somebody says, oh no, how could God be so cruel talking about beating a child? We conceive the idea of beating with taking a ball bat and, you know, hurting somebody, you know, breaking limbs. Let me give you just a real simple definition of beat. You know what? Beat means to, I've got it down here, to strike with a swinging motion. That is beating. You know, I mean, if you take a swinging motion and you strike, that's beating. Look it up in the dictionary, that's beating. Now, maybe there were times they were even more cruel back then. I don't think we need to be, though. I want to say you can do it. And by the way, God has supplied a portion of the anatomy for children. It's fleshy. And let me say this. Do it in a way that causes more sting than oomph. Make it just something that gets their attention. You can do it. Now, some of you sitting there, you've heard a lot of new stuff and you think I'm being cruel. I'm just being biblical. Now, here's the thing. You want to get mad at me? Get mad at me because I mistaught what this book just said. You know? Don't get mad at me because I said something the Bible said. See, what you may be finding out about yourself is that you don't really believe this Bible as much as you think you do. That's a scary place to be in. We need to believe this book. Now, spanking is harmful? No, it's not. Not if it's done right. Do people misuse it? Oh, yes. But let me show you this. Look back to Proverbs 13:24. I think we were here earlier, but listen to what it says here. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. You know what this world has taught you? And they'll have it in the news, they'll have it in their teaching, they'll have it in their classes. You know, they'll say, if you ever, for any reason, even on the backside, strike your child, you are a cruel, awful, hating person. You know what the Bible just said? It says, if you don't do it, you hate your child. Now, here's a question I have for you. Who's right? You say, well, I just can't see it that way. You know why you can't see it that way? Because you don't believe the Bible. That's scary, isn't it? This world doesn't believe this book. They want to talk about how sweet Jesus is, but they don't want to believe this book. He says, if you don't, you hate your child. Now, as I said, that word betimes means over and over again, consistent repetitions. Each child's different. There are punishments that do not involve spanking. Learn to use good judgment. But use God's method. Number six, I think we're doing all right. Here's another misconception, that a child's behavior and spiritual condition are unrelated. You know what we've done? We've decided that how a child acts and how they can grow to love God are totally different. I have known parents who had unruly children who have come and talked to me or they've talked to somebody else and they've said, you know what, my desire is that my little child would get saved so that they'd start behaving. If they get saved, then they'll start behaving. I'm going to clue you in on something. There are saved kids that misbehave. There are good kids who aren't saved because they've been disciplined and they've been brought up in a way, or they've just got a personality that they're submissive. You know, there are good kids who are lost, and there are kids who are saved who go through times where they're rebelling against God. It's not a stage, but they go through times of rebelling. And you look here, you cannot count on their salvation to be an anecdote for your bad parenting. Everybody getting quiet now, okay. But you can't. You can't say, okay, I won't be a parent, I'll just kind of let them go and hope they get saved one of these days so I won't have to worry about it. No, it involves a whole lot more than that. He says here in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 14, thou shalt beat him. This is Proverbs 23:14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, I will say this. He doesn't say that you go and if you'll beat a child, that saves them. That's not what he's saying. Okay, so don't go around beating kids so they'll save them. Remember what Jesus Christ feels about people mistreating kids. I wouldn't do that. You know, I'd be very careful about that. But he says this, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. What does it mean? This verse teaches that the correction of the rod leads to a disciplined child, and that disciplined child is naturally more open to salvation and more likely not to go down the path of destruction. You increase the chances that they're ready to get saved because they know what it is to submit to authority. They know what it is to say there's a right and a wrong. And because they know that, they're more ready to get saved. And they're less likely to take the path to destruction. And so it is important that you do that. You see, you need to understand this. In your daily discipline, you are either preparing your child to receive Jesus as Savior, or you are placing hindrances between him and God. Now, that child may still get saved, but it may get saved despite your lack of discipline. If you will discipline it in a loving way and show them consistently the path they ought to take, you are making it easier for them to get saved when it comes to that time. You say, oh, that's a heavy responsibility. Welcome to being parents. It is a heavy responsibility. It is a difficult thing to deal with. But God will enable you and help you. Modern parents, again, I've got so much written out, I'm going to read some of it. Modern parents are too quick to let their children use their own judgment and make all their own decisions. They get the idea that I don't have the right to tell my child or make any decisions for my child. I have to let them make all the decisions. No, you're the parent. You have the right to tell them. When do you want to go to bed, dear? No, this is the time you go to bed. Right now. You know? Don't do that in the army either, do they? Youngins? When do you all want to go to bed tonight? You know? When do you want to get up in the morning? It's not quite how it's done, is it? And I'm not trying to create any problems here, but it's not how it's done. You're told. It's all right for you to tell them some things. You know, sometimes we give them too many choices. Sometimes, and again, I'm being critical. I know that, but I'm not trying to be hurtful. Sometimes you can spend... I don't think there's anything wrong with letting a kid tell you whether they want a cheeseburger chicken nuggets or something like that, or the thing. But man, I've seen parents going crazy. What do you want? Oh, do you want this? Is this all right? Man, if I've got to do that with a kid, some decision's going to be made for them real quick. I'm not saying I won't ask them what they want. But if they want to start running me around in circles, then that's it. You got this, you're eating it, but I don't want that. Then you don't eat anything. Then sit over there and be quiet, and we're going to eat. You say, that's terrible. No, it isn't, because if you do it a time or two and they know you'll do it, they'll shut up and eat. See, you think, I don't know how to explain this, because I know I'm coming across as like some sort of, you know, John Wayne parent. I don't mean that. But you've got the right to make some decisions for your children. It's okay for you to say, you're going to eat some of this tonight. I mean, with our kids, I mean, we didn't make them, if they hated peas, we didn't make them eat a plate full of peas. We'd say, take two bites. Yeah. Okay, that's one. Take you one more. You know what happens over about 10, 12, 15, 20 years of that? They might end up liking peas. You say, what if they don't? Then they'll like some of the other stuff you've done the same thing with. But they'll learn to eat some of those things that they should be eating. And listen, we have a world of people today. I mean, we got kids who don't know what to eat anything, don't know what food is other than macaroni. Jeez. That's the only food source they understand. Maybe ice cream and cookies. But I mean, you know, I mean, those are the three food groups. And I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm trying to say, it's time. Listen, if they don't learn to eat vegetables when they're 7, 8, 9, and 10, they're going to go through life never eating vegetables. That's true. But the thing is you really need vegetables. You really... No, never mind. I mean, I'm trying to make... I want you to laugh a little bit because I don't want you to think I'm picking on you. Listen, nobody's a perfect parent. I wasn't a perfect parent. I didn't have perfect kids. You know, amen, somebody said, yeah. There's nobody perfect in this thing. We're all struggling through the thing. But look to God for some help. We've got this idea that God doesn't know what He's talking about. We've got to go to the world. Listen, go back to God. He still has the answers. You look here. There is a connection between their spiritual condition and their learning and discipline. By the way, a child's earliest conception of God comes from his parents, mostly his father. Do you realize that your child's first mental concept of what God must be like is dad? Some of you, if you think about it, one of the reasons you've had trouble really just trusting God is because you didn't have a good relationship with your dad. I'm not picking. I'm really not. Now, is God big enough to get you over that? Yes, He is. And praise God, He can get you through that and show His relationship and His love to you. But sometimes, some of you have struggled with just an ease with God. God's this big guy up there that's about ready to hit you, and you think He's going to beat you up again. Why? If you'll think back, it's probably because that's how you looked at your own dad. Because that's where your first concept of God came from. You say, how do I fix that? You go back and you study those passages in the Bible that talk about God loving and caring and watching over us and everything else, and you retrain your brain. But a child, his first concept of God comes from daddy. Daddies, you've got some pretty heavy responsibility there, don't you? Amen. Y'all gonna be like some of these old-timey preachers. I'm going to sit down here and amen myself a couple of times. Okay. See how that works. Now, I'm about to the end here. Number 7. Here's another misconception that children will grow out of rebellion. Proverbs... You know, a lot of people, they say, well, they'll grow out of that. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29, 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now, children do go through identifiable stages, I said earlier here. But children don't just grow out of rebellion. I mean, let me use an example of the terrible twos. Some people say, okay, mine's going through the terrible twos. When they get through that, then it'll be okay. Well, I will tell you this. There is a stage of activity, of energy, of pushing and pushing that they go through around 2 and 3. Some of them start about 13 months. It just depends on the kid. But they go through that time of just pushing, pushing, pushing. And if you get through that stage, they settle down. There's no doubt about that. I agree with you. But if you don't correct the rebellion, you've still got rebellion. They just learn to use different tactics to get their way. They haven't truly submitted. They've just learned to deal with it in an easier way for them. And they go through this, and you'll find out. This is cruel to parents' night. Cruelly to parents' night. And I'm not trying to be, but I'm trying to get you to think about some things. Your children basically do what you have trained them to do. You say, what do I do with my child? They do this all the time. Well, you train them to do it. Stop training them to do it. I know you do. I know you think I'm just some cruel, out-of-this-world, guy to say something like that. I don't mean that. But I do want you to think about it. Children do what they get by with. They do what has worked for them. Now, do they go out and push the envelope? Oh, sure they do. All the time. But what they end up doing is they do what they have learned work. I mean, let's go back to the tantrum. I don't know if we have any kids with tantrums now. If yours does, I have not been. Nobody's told me, so I can use this as a good example. You know where they do the throwing themselves down on the ground and all this stuff and everything? Okay, or maybe some other type of tantrum or whatever. Again, if your child does it, I didn't know it, so I'm not using you as an example. But they do that. Why do they throw tantrums? Well, the first time it might just occur to them, let's try this. Or they might have seen somebody do it, or it may just get in them and they think, well, let's try it. Let's do it. But you know what? If they keep doing it, they do it because they, in their perception, they're getting something out of it. Children are smart. Again, go back to the concept, children are simply smart. They are smart in a way to where they don't have all these little fuzzy things that we have in our brains as we get older that confuse us. If something works, they do it. If it doesn't work, they stop doing it. You say, well, my child whines. They whine because it works. And that's going to be like somebody's going to say to me, I know. Oh, no, it doesn't. No, you watch it. See, you're watching it just from the time. You remember those times you didn't let it get work. But they do it consistently because most of the time it works. By the way, they don't have to have it work all the time. They're smart enough, if it works one time out of five and they figure it's worth the chance, they'll do it anyway. It doesn't have to work 100% of the time. If it's working enough to where they think it's a chance to take it. Now what you have to do, if you see the tantrum or you see the whining, you say, I'm going to quit it, you have to consistently make sure it never works. Now what happens? Well, for a while, their mind's still on the old plan, and it takes them a while to figure it out. And they think, oh, well, if I keep on long enough, then it'll come back again. But after a while, those smart kids, you know what they're going to do? They're going to stop doing whatever it does that makes it work. They're going to stop it because they found out it didn't work anymore. Now, I know I'm getting, even with my reading glasses, I can see some looks like, oh, come on now, preacher. Last one. Proverbs 29 and verse 17 says this, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Here's the misconception. If I spank my children, it'll just create a home full of stress and turmoil. In other words, that spanking causes stress and turmoil. If I do this, oh, they're just going to be upset all the time, and we're going to be upset all the time, and it's just always going to be... No, it's just the opposite. You know what God says? He says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. God says that disciplined children create a peaceful home. You know? I've told you this a little bit earlier, but I'm about to the close here. I want to use this again. When I was dealing years ago with children, our kids were a little older than their other kids sometimes, but they were a lot younger than they are now, a number of years ago. And we'd talk about it. I had people just kind of respond to me and my wife and say, boy, if you're that hard, you must paddle them a lot. You know, and I think I said that to one person after we were talking to them, and they said, yeah, that's what I think. You must paddle them all the time. I said, no, you don't understand. I very seldom paddle my kids. I very seldom spank my kids. You say, what do you mean? Well, I said, you know, the thing is my kids know I will every time they cross certain lines, and they're smart. I don't know, my kids aren't smarter than other kids. I mean, they're just like kids. They're smart. All kids are smart. I mean, even kids with learning problems are smart. You got to understand this. You don't understand how quick they are on the social levels and everything to figure out things. And you know what? They figured out. You know what? If I cross this line 100% of the time, Dad catches me and Dad gets me. You know what? I don't think I'll cross that line. And the thing is when I was consistent, they stopped doing it. I'm not talking 2-year-olds now. I'm talking more 5, 6, 7, and so on. It got to the point when my kids, by the time they were about 9 and 10, they almost never got past. I don't know how old they were on their last ones, but they weren't very old, really, the last time they got paddled. Why? Because they knew I would do it. They knew I would do it consistently, and they knew where the line was because I would stop and tell them where the line is, and I'd tell them, you know, if you cross this, you get in trouble. You know something's going to happen. Yes, I know. And when they did it, and I called them, something happened. So they didn't do it very much. And you know what it created? It created a situation where we almost didn't have the teen years in our home. Our kids, we dealt with them on an adult level by the time they were teenagers. And I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm lifting up the method. If you'll listen to me, that's what I'm talking about. You don't have to do it. I'm not saying you'll never have to paddle your children when they get old. I'm saying that if you will take care of things now, it gets easier, not harder. You know why most people won't paddle the kids when they're 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 years old? Because it's a lot of trouble. It's a hassle. My wife and I were talking the other day, and she's talking about a couple times with the kids. And Carolyn said, oh, yeah, I remember those. You know, she'd take them out to the store and just be her and the kids. And, you know, 3, 4, 5-year-old kids, I mean, they're going to get everything in store if they get a chance. And a mama, you know, trying to shop, and the kid's like, aha, you know, this is it. So she would do this. When she took them out, this was her discipline. This was not mine. But she would take them and says, here's what I expect of you. You're going to stay with me. You're going to do this. Do you understand? Da-da-da-da-da-da. You say, it worked real well. No, not always. They pushed it. And Mama probably let them by with a little more than I did. I mean, you know, that's grace. Daddy's law, Mama's grace. Y'all understand that? You know, I mean, she was a little nicer to them than I was that way sometimes. But you know what? They went out a couple times, said that they got active. Now, you all do know that you don't take your kids in the middle of Walmart and start paddling, don't you? I'm just telling you. I mean, you don't do that. Number one, people will misunderstand because they're brainwashed today. Number two, somebody's going to turn you in. Don't be stupid. You know? Don't be stupid. I mean, there's things that are just stupid. There's no sense Christians being stupid. We ought to be wise. There's some things you don't do. But you know what? She marched them out one time. She took hold of their arms. They knew what she told them not to do something. They'd done it. She took hold of their arms. She marched them out to the car. She drove them straight home. Took them straight in the house. And paddled them real good. And said, now we're going back to the store. You know, you say, well, I can't do that. It just takes so much time. I think she did it 2 or 3 times in the whole time she was bringing those kids up. Because if they know you'll do something like that. See, they think, you know what they think when they get you out in the store? Ha, 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 I got them now. There's nothing they can do to me here, man. I've seen it. You say, well, I never told them that. They can see what's going on. They can see this is one place I've never gotten it, man. There's something freedom here. And, you know, you think I'm telling them. They already knew it. You know, but you know what? You have to be willing to go out of your way to correct your children now, do the hard thing, and then what you'll find one of these days, you'll turn around and they're a lot easier. You don't have to worry about them nearly as much. And that is the thing. You come here. Now, some of you, I'm not trying. I didn't do this for any reason except I was trying to say, okay, I taught this. I preached on this Sunday morning, this Sunday night. What would be a good balance? I said, well, I need something practical. And I remember this outline I've been thinking about a little while ago. Let me say this, though. Parenting God's way still works. I hear people sometimes say, well, I tried it God's way one time and it didn't work, so I had to quit. You know, it's kind of like somebody saying, well, we tried reaching people by preaching one time, but it didn't work, so we stopped the preaching. Now all we do is entertain and feed them donuts and coffee. I almost faked it, but yeah, all right. You know, that's all we do now, and that's how we get people now. Why? Because preaching doesn't work, but God says preaching is His method. You just threw out God's way. Same thing with this. Don't throw it out because you don't see the benefit right now. Learn to do it God's way. God's way is not as crazy as you think it is. I tell you what, I I'm using myself because I don't have anybody else. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Use one of you guys? I've got to use myself. But I love my kids. I love them today. Sounds big enough to beat me up. And fast enough where I'd never catch it if I wanted to. But you know what? I loved my kids then. I played with my kids. I talked to my kids. I see parents that won't even talk to their children like they're real people. You know, they'll never sit down and just talk to them. What'd you do today? I know they give you know, I know the grunt sounds, you know, and everything else. You got to work on them. But you know what? You play with them. You spend some time with them. You enjoy their company. After a while, they enjoy your company. You love them. And then you say, you know what? I'd ask you to do that, and you didn't do that. Oh, that hurt me. And you know what? It really hurts. I've cried with my children. I've paddled them before. You ever done that, parents? I mean, just I bawled as I paddled my kids. I sat down with them, and I cried, and I said, you know what? I'm so sorry that we're having to go through this again. I love you. But you know what? I can't let you go and learn to misbehave because that's unpleasing to God and that's going to send you the wrong way. And I'll tell you what, I've got to do this because I'm determined you're going to turn out to be a good, godly young man or a good, godly young lady. I would cry. I have cried with my kids when I've paddled them. You love them. Don't go away from love them. Don't do it. Don't pick them up in anger and paddle them. Dads, put some sort of barrier between you and anger. If it means letting them sit down a little bit, you're going to find out they're going to be a lot more cooperative because they'll be thinking about it a little bit and you'll be settled down. I found that to work very well. But you know what? You come and you love your children and you care for them.
So what are you going to do? I'm going to read this paragraph here. Are you going to moan and groan and say that I just do not understand your situation? Are you going to hit and miss a couple times and then give up? Or are you going to systematically and faithfully learn God's way of disciplining children and then apply these practices to your own family? The choice is yours. I pray you make the right one. And, you know, that's my concern that we learn. We've got some great parents and great kids around here. I did not preach this because I saw somebody out of line and I'm trying to correct you tonight. If you felt a correction tonight, it's because God dealt with you, not because I was aiming any arrows at you. Yet, I have to hope that God had a purpose for this message tonight. If we will bring children up in God's way and love them and correct them His way, we'd be surprised what He'll do with our kids. Let's stand. Father, we come to You right now. Lord, I just pray that You'd help us to learn Your way of disciplining our children, of loving them, of leading them and guiding them in the right way. Lord, help us just to love them. Be with these parents. Lord, they have a tough job. It's a hard time to bring up children. There's so many things pulling at them. There's so many things that are trying to tempt them and draw them away into the world. So many dangers out there. And Lord, good parents are concerned and sometimes they're worried and they want to do right. I believe every parent in here wants to do right and wants to serve You, Lord. But Lord, sometimes we just need to be reminded of what Your way is and make sure that we've not given ourselves to the world in any way in this. Lord, help us to be obedient to You, Lord. We thank You so much for Your love. In Jesus' name, for His sake we pray. Amen. I don't know what God may do in somebody's heart, but we'll sing a verse. And if God's speaking to you, you come. What's the song you have?
380. I surrender all.
380. If God